Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world. Today's quote is read by the celebrated actress, Joan Chen.
I should say, if I have any overall philosophy, it's a reverence for all living things and a great optimism about mankind.
All right, so we want to welcome back our guest, Mary Chifo, who's been so fabulous all week. I just want to say, I kind of think that humanity is Gene's religion in a sense, right? We know, we know he was an atheist, agnostic, whatever he was, but I'm looking at this and I'm like, he really has a lot of hope in mankind. Mm-hmm. And as this quote says, a reverence for living. But the other thing I love about Gene and shows in general is there's also an irreverence in the sense of humor. You know, there is always so much humor in the shows, even within the Shakespearean scenarios that are going on. There's humor. So there's irreverence, but also a reverence. And I just, again, because I don't eat meat and stuff like that, I want to throw in, like, I love it's for living things, right? Not just man, for all living things, because I feel like everything has a soul, right? So so then isn't it all part of a whole? What do you think, Mary and Trent?
Well, first I want to say I'm a vegan. I'm not a meat eater. Again, the more I learn about you, the more I know that we're going to have a big tarot vegan party, and it's going to be great. I can't wait. But I agree. I love the resonance of this being of all living things and, you know, including too our respect for nature. I'm a huge I'm a fan of the Studio Ghibli films. And I think a lot of Miyazaki's themes are very much about, you know, our relationship, industry versus nature, and when we respect it and when we don't. And I think a lot of those themes that I love from there are, again, in my favorite Trek episodes as well. And I do think, yeah, the respect that we have for anything living. And again, I maybe I'm anthropomorphizing too many things, but I see the energy of most living things. With animals, I often feel that, like my dog right now, Addie, who's this little Chihuahua terrier, little, I mean, she is a cat, but cat, what do I say? Cat, bat, bear, bug, bunny, monkey, gremlin. Like, she's just everything. And she's so clearly my child. But I think about the fact that I have such a deep relationship with her, but we've never spoken words to each other. But we communicate on a different level, that there's so much to learn from a creature, and that we can have these deep connections in different ways. And again, we see that in various ways on, you know, Star Trek episodes, whether it is a species that doesn't, you know, speak English, or, you know, there's so many great episodes that deal with communication. I mean, practically all of them, but some really, really, you know, dive in. And I love knowing that Gene was someone who, and the Roddenberry clan is a animal activist group, which makes me love them even more. Also, I think it comes to respect of life, because if you start to create a hierarchy, you're innately, you know, again, you're creating superiority, and you're suddenly saying, no, we're the best. We know everything. We figured it out. As opposed to being, huh, interesting. So they can't communicate the way we do. Maybe we should learn a little bit from them, that, like, by just looking into someone's eyes, we might learn a lot more. Mm-hmm. And again, that's my relationship with animals, certainly. And
but it's almost like the animals could be the aliens here, right? When yes. we look at an octopus, mm-hmm. or we look at your dog, or we look at whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I look at an octopus and I do think, well, that is an alien. Mm-hmm. It's not yes. an alien. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Trent, what do you think about this quote?
The two things that stuck out to me are reverence and optimism. And if it's the thing that we do get here all the time from many of Gene's quotes is the optimism, the belief,
yeah.
his absolute belief that humankind can mature beyond our, you know, our petty squabbles that we have here on Earth. Because if we don't, he also said, the future is not worth a damn. If we don't have our humor and our humanity, the future is not going to be worth a damn. So he always had the optimism that we would get there. And he charted this whole future universe. And others have taken up the baton and run with it. And that universe has grown and grown and grown. I say it all the time. It resonates kind of like the myths of the Greeks and the Romans did. You know, mm-hmm. these are new modern myths and they will outlive us all.
Well, and I also think this, for some reason, this quote reminds me a little of Douglas Adams, like The Hitchhiker's mm-hmm. Guide, because in that, right, the whale falling and the mice, I don't want to ruin the plot, y'all, but the mice have something to say, you know, and it just reminds me of that because it's all life, right? It's not, we use them as test subjects yep. here, and yep. yet what right. if they were the overlords who were finally like, yeah, we've been around long enough to know you people are doomed, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after what Trent said, I do love the optimism because I'm a New Yorker, right? I can be pretty cynical at times, but I've converted that as I get older more to stoicism, frankly. Like, less cynicism and more a little stoic about things.
Mm-hmm.
But optimism requires you to be invested. Right? It's not a stoic kind of thing. You actually have to give of your energy and your spirit to be optimistic, you know? And that's a lovely through line to these shows.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I tend to, when it comes to things I tweet, I like being on Twitter. I like, you know, amplifying voices and saying various things. But every once in a while, I'll be meditating on a thought and just like put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need people to respond to it. But I just recently was thinking about that, what holds me back is not my fear of being wrong, but fear of being right. And like, but not in like the haha, I know more, but in the sense of standing in my absolute truth.
Yeah.
The optimism, mm-hmm. like of enthusiasm. And obviously, I'm a very enthusiastic person, and something that I felt was very embraced by the Trek community with my participation in the show and at conventions. Like, I'm notorious for, oh, yeah, Mary's here. She's the, you know, enthusiastic geek that's going to like dance till midnight
Mary,
with us.
Sorry to interrupt, but can I just say that's the way you should be? I do conventions too. And you know what? Yeah. It is a 2-minute play for the person, it is mm-hmm. a comedia right. dell'arte piece of energy you are giving. That person pays yes. money to get in there. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad because
yes.
I've seen people sit at those tables and barely mm-hmm. look up or acknowledge them. And my thing is, we wouldn't be here if they didn't still love the shows and the mm-hmm. movies.
Absolutely.
Things.
I just, yeah, I completely agree. It's like, this is why, it's just a celebration. There's like nothing to be mad about here. It's just, why not be present? And, but the vulnerability of that, the vulnerability of enthusiasm and optimism. And again, why I think I was meditating on that thought and then kind of kept expanding upon it. And the idea, the fear of not failure, but failure of success, like whatever you define that as, not in a superficial way, but in like, oh, what if I just stepped into myself?
Mm-hmm.
What if I did just tell people who I was truly? And it's scary because you don't know if you will be accepted mm-hmm. by everyone.
You won't.
But the importance is, yeah, exactly. Knowing that, of course,
you
not
won't.
Everyone.
Yeah.
But the right people will see what you're about and they'll want to champion it. They'll want to celebrate it. They'll want to, you know, collaborate, whatever it is, whatever circumstance it may be. And I have been lucky that through me, you know, again, ups and downs and all arounds. I'm 6 feet tall. And so that's what have been one of my things is being a big lady with big energy. And even though, again, I was very encouraged from a young age to be myself, there were still things, and particularly like that shift from coming from high school and being at Juilliard, my voice and speech teachers and my movement teachers would be like, you're apologizing. Even though I stood in, I was not like you know, I knew how to own my power, certainly on stage. Mm-hmm. In real life, that was where I really got tripped up, mm-hmm. is I would say a smart thing and then say, well, I don't know. Or, you know,
but
I would just
as
find
women,
ways.
We were taught that, though. As women, yes, and I don't know about men or gay men, but I know women were taught to, I'm going to say something, then I'm going to apologize. In fact, and this is an odd thing, but I know from my own experiences with acting, I kind of dulled my own sexuality because it made white actresses I was around uncomfortable. And that sounds like a weird thing, but what I'm saying is they'd say, why are you being so sexy in this scene? And I'm like, I'm just being.
Like, yes.
And then I realized, and then, because I was always the friend, not the lead. So then I would kind of tone down my energy so that they felt more comfortable. And those days are gone.
Mm-hmm. That's to be celebrated and shouted from the rooftops, because I absolutely, again, it's just, if we stand in our own power, then everyone else should. It's like, we shouldn't rescind our light for the sake of other people's comfortability. You know, again, like, we're sensitive people. Like, I know from talking with you both that, like, we're not going to bulldoze our way through everything. We're going to come in with the energy and power we have as an offering, as a way to see, not as a means to just be rude and mean. Like, I think people who aren't as comfortability with shining their light will find ways to make you feel bad for being all that you are. Mm-hmm. And if it's not their vocabulary, then they're going to be like, wait, why are you doing it that way? Instead of being like, oh, that's interesting. You shine your light differently
instead
than I do.
Instead of being threatened by it, finding it intriguing. Yeah. And Mary, I just want to throw out there, like, I'm 5'3". People always think I'm taller on screen, but I'm 5'3". And I always say, like, listen, not everyone can be a fabulous Amazon like you. I always wanted to be that, but not everyone can be a little fairy pixie like me. There's definitely beauties to both, you know? And I get, and like, I get the sense Mary isn't what, I've had so many tall people be kind of, you know, tall people can be assholes to short people sometimes. You know what I'm talking about, Mary. Yeah. I know you've seen it. And it's always so disconcerting to me because I'm like, that's a genetic thing. It's genetics that made you your height. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with your person, your particular, you know. Anyway, I want to ask you guys, do you guys have a personal, like this one says, if I have any overall philosophy, it's reverence for living things. Do you guys have a personal philosophy that you kind of live by, Trent?
I don't know that I have a hard, fast one that I live by, but it's not hard to see things that you see shown in Star Trek and from these quotes about being optimistic, because as I mentioned before, like, I try to be optimistic every day. And when I had my blog, it was a very successful business for very many years. And I was thankful every single day. And even on the bad days, even when I didn't want to do it, even when I'd much rather be sleeping in, I was still so thankful for the gift of being able to do it. And I felt like that optimism kind of fed into that.
Aww.
So, you know, I try to have optimism as my philosophy.
It's also okay if people have a bum day, right? Because I'm big with energy, energy, frequency, vibration. And yeah, people are like, so you're always happy? No, I'm fucking not always happy at all. I'm stressed out at times. I'm sad. I'm all these things. I just let myself feel them, you know, and to get back to happy.
Do you have a philosophy?
Yeah. What's your personal philosophy?
Funnily enough, I'm going to reference something that I remember writing down early on in filming Discovery. It's written on a piece of hotel pad or something. It's somewhere out in my desk, but I took a picture of it and posted it. But I made a checklist. I call it the artist checklist. Mm-hmm. And when I did post it, a lot of people were like, well, this isn't just for artists. And I was like, well, I define everyone as an artist. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Like, I think that we are all artists in our own work. Like, that's the goal, is that we can reach that level of flow that we are, you know, artistically doing whatever we're doing. So the checklist, as I recall, I was just scribbling it down. And I think it's show up, do the work, don't apologize for your enthusiasm, and be of service.
Oh, I like that you rounded out on be of service. Mm-hmm. That is really profound, actually, you know?
I think I'm going to adopt your philosophy now. That's a good
one. Great, cool. I'll send the actual. I might have slightly misquoted myself, but again, I'm misquoting myself. But to me, yeah, and I'm glad you pointed out that be of service, because again, in my journey through Trek, my journey that got me to Trek, all of the various things, projects I did that made someone aware of me, that got, you know, whatever casting to be, you know, that all came of me being of service to various projects. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, obviously I was, it was projects where I got to work on my craft and play awesome characters, but you know, it was the journey of being of service. And again, with Laurel and the Klingons, I wanted to be of service to the species. I wanted to know everything I could so that I could pay, you know, my proper reverence mm-hmm. to what had come before. Mm-hmm. And of course, that ended up making me look good because I was confident in my performance. And I created a full character, but it was because I wanted this Klingon character to be all that she could be.
Mary, I'm not sure you're narcissistic enough to be an actor, but okay. actors are notoriously self-involved. That's why I said that. But certainly not all actors, you know, at all. Mm-hmm. And most of us, as we grow, we kind of grow out of that self-centeredness, hopefully, as performers. I also love what Mary said, that everyone's an artist. I agree. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter your job. There's artistic sense of pride in your work, and that is a beautiful experience. All right, you guys, we could talk forever, but we got to wrap it up.
I was going to say the one last thing I want to say. We have talked a lot about Gene's optimism about mankind, and now about his reverence for living things. And we've seen aliens, and we've seen all kinds of crazy creatures in Star Trek's future. But I have to give a shout out to Data's cat Spot and Captain Archer's dog Porthos, because you know, they were there boldly going with our Star Trek friends out into the great white out there. So
all living things, man. And even sometimes I'm like, even the rock that you don't think is sentient, I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, all right, thank you so much for joining us. We now we really only have one more episode with a fabulous Chifo. Trent, where do the people go?
Please check out the Roddenberry social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And please come back to hear us talk with Mary one more time on Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.